Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As you've heard, we're getting inside your pocket. And this time around, especially linking it to the interest rate announcement that we had just earlier on, and one of the asset classes that typically gets a lot of attention from us as South Africans, property. If you know any loved ones who recently moved home, someone who's in the market, someone who perhaps just likes to observe what property trends are taking place, we're going to answer a very critical question for you now. Where did South Africans buy their houses in 2024? Well, to help us answer this question is the head of real estate at Lightstone, Estiani Marks, who joins us to tell us more. Estiani, welcome to the show. I hope I've pronounced your first name correctly.
Yes, you did. Thank you, and thanks for having me again.
Fantastic. Always excited to speak to you, especially at Lighthouse. And I guess before people say, hold on, who did you speak to get these numbers? We just need to add context into Lighthouse, the research, the data, the information that you're able to access from a wide array of data points that really helps us share the concise information we're going to discuss tonight.
Yes. So, I mean, Lightstone is the company that basically looks at all the data points in terms of real estate in South Africa. Super exciting to see some of the results that we've seen for 2024 coming out, and just to give some context on that. So super excited.
Got you. First things first, was it a buyer's market?
Sure, it's a difficult question to answer, or not difficult, but I think there's a lot of perspective needed to answer that correctly. But I think in certain areas, it definitely was a buyer's market, but in other areas, it was actually a seller's market. So I think it really depends on the area you're talking about. Majority of the areas, probably buyer's market, but definitely some areas that we saw the sellers could actually, you know, make their price, and there was a bigger demand or more demand than what the supply was actually available.
What's quite interesting looking at your report, which is lovely in terms of its detail, is that it took us through three different price bands, right? Those properties below 500,000 or just over 500, half a million, between half a million and 1.5 million, and well above 1.5 million. And there's interesting nuances and trends between the three. It does seem as though more affordable properties have typically been purchased within the Gauteng area and the West Rand in particular, like Roodepoort, Heidelberg, even Midrand also featuring on the list.
Yeah, and I think a little bit of context again is always needed. So within South Africa, majority of our properties are actually in the affordable space. So, you know, more than 50% will sit in the under 500,000, or let's call it 0 to 1 million rand. So naturally, you know, that will also be where majority of the transactions will happen. But you're very interesting. I mean, we saw then that, you know, below 500,000, that most of the sales did happen in the Roodepoort area, staggering 2,240 sales, so almost 2,500 sales in that area for the year 2024.
Sure. And the middle income segment, as you mentioned, 500,000 to 1.5 million, where were we seeing activity there?
So in that price band, we saw quite a lot of sales going through in Boksburg, specifically Dawn Park, Randburg, in Ferndale. We also saw some sales in Milnerton Meadow Fields in the Western Cape. So that was a little bit split more, you know, throughout the country. So we had a little bit of Northwest. We've had Eastern Cape, Gauteng, as well as the Western Cape, that had some great numbers of sales in the 500 to 1.5 million price band.
Got you. Seems as though anything above that 1.5 million, Cape Town seems to dominate that particular price band, which I guess might not surprise many, but maybe there's some interesting nuances there in terms of pricing, positioning, and the target market.
Yeah, so, and I think this also clearly speaks to what I've just said in the beginning, sort of your seller's market. Where, you know, there was a lot of demand in specifically some of the areas in Cape Town, and that naturally pushes up the price for properties in some of those suburbs. But yes, we did see quite a few of that sales happening in the above 1.5 million price band within the Western Cape area. Specifically looking there at Cape Town or Sea Point as a suburb, we saw at least 730 sales. With a good average, you know, average property price there was just over 4 million. So, I think it's looking great That side.
Definitely, if you happen to be a seller or got a good deal, if you are negotiating your way as a buyer. And maybe that brings about another perspective to this conversation, Estiani, especially on the back of interest rates, the announcement that was made today, the split, finance property, which is a mortgage, or those who actually might have found alternative means of payment. What's the split like? Because it seems as though some South Africans are rather cash flush and liquid to purchase property cash.
Yes, that is quite an interesting observation. And I think we're sitting on about, let's call it 50-50 split between, properties that are actually bought cash versus properties that are bonded. But what is interesting is to see which of the price bands are actually where the cash purchases are happening. And it's actually within your under 500,000. So all your lower valued properties, but then also your highest valued properties. So that's where majority of the cash sales are happening. Whereas in between, you'll see more bonded transactions than cash transactions happening.
Got you. I know this might not be shared in the report, but I'd be keen to find out from you if we are finding that the banks are becoming a lot more liberal with their lending, especially with the recent interest rate cuts.
Absolutely. So I think there's a lot of what we call competition for market share within the banks still. And we actually did an analysis at the end of last year to understand, what is the banks actually, what is their approach towards providing a mortgage or funding or lending? And what we saw is that what we call sort of the LTV, so meaning that the banks provide you with a higher rate or a higher percentage of the actual purchase price, to secure those bonds. And we saw that has increased over the last almost 10 years quite significantly. So whereas in 2000 and I think 16, they would ask for, let's say, about a 15% deposit, that actually reduced down to only about 5% deposit in 2023-2024.
But the length of the bond, I'm assuming, is also something that's shifted, right? Instead of 20 years, is the T becoming more popular?
Sure. I don't actually have numbers on between the 20 and 30-year bonds, but I do think, obviously the 30-year bonds does give a little bit of leeway to more entrance into the market because it makes it more affordable on a monthly basis. Obviously, the total repayment then increases quite a bit. I think that's a financial decision that each individual needs to make.
Got you. Makes sense there. Estiani, if we come back to the report, it's always interesting to find out not only what we're buying, how much we're buying for, but who is buying. And the average age group here got me quite excited. I'm keen to know if there's any disclosure on the gender. I'm a bit biased on this one.
we've actually done a quite a lot of research on, the gender as well. And females do still buy more properties than the male counterparts. There's many reasons for that. So that's definitely still happening and has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. But if we look at the age groups, very interesting then, majority of sales, specifically for your first-time buyers were actually individuals between 30 and 45 years of age. So that's where your majority of your first-time buyers were categorized in. Mm-hmm. The repeat buyers, so people that have bought before or buying second and third and fourth properties, they were more in your matured age, or not matured, but from 30 to almost like, say, 60 years of age.
Gotcha.
Whereas the youngsters are sort of the entrance, the first-time buyers.
Got you. And I think it's also intriguing to know the kind of properties that are being purchased here, whether it's a freestand property in estates or sectional title schemes. It seems as though there's an interesting split between the levels of interest we have here.
Yeah, so also the context would also be necessary. So again, within the country, majority of our property types will be freehold. So again, more than 50% is actually freehold. So naturally, more sales will be in the freehold property types, if you want to take it in terms of a comparison. But I think the youngsters or the first-time buyers would naturally, majority of them would go for your sectional title, so a little bit more on the affordable side. And freeholds, whereas estates is a little bit more on your more expensive side. And So yeah, that's I think the split between that we do see, but I don't think it actually discriminate between the market itself. Some will naturally, you know, buy in the more higher valued properties or lower valued properties, even if they are younger or older. Mm. But yeah, majority of sales still happens in the freehold space. And then second to that, your sectional titles.
Istiani, to close off with, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I am assuming that given the recent announcement we had, the results we saw for 2024, what can we anticipate for 2025 in the property purchasing segment?
So I think if we just look at numbers and trends and those kind of things, 2024 started off quite slow, and naturally because of the interest rates that were still high, we had the elections coming up and all of that. So once that have settled and interest rates started to come down, we did see an increase in transactions happening. So I personally do anticipate that the transactions will actually also increase for the year 2025. And as we've now just had our third rate cut, which was well anticipated, yep, and I think well received, I think we also will see naturally another uptick in the property market. But then, you know, the clever people, the economists, are saying that they are expecting, you know, some further rate cuts in throughout the year, possibly a 0.5% still for the full year. So that may, I think, also drive some further requirement or you know, demand for people to buy real estate. So yeah, I'm very optimistic for this year. I think in the market we've seen some uptick in activities, and our estate agent market is also indicating that they are very excited for the year. So that's what we hope to see.
Oh, property practitioners, give us a ring. I'm so excited to hear their levels of optimism for the year ahead, right? Not just being called for viewings and then people don't show up. Or it's often a very troublesome time. Oh, yeah, we've heard stories. But nonetheless, such a pleasure speaking to you, Istiani.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always excited to hear from you and really get a better understanding of who's buying property, how much we're spending on property, how we actually manage to access our funding for the property, and of course, the kinds of properties we're purchasing. So really appreciate your time tonight. That's Istiani Marx, who's the head of real estate at Lightstone, talking to us about the property purchasing trends in the residential space for 2024.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.